dedicated my life to natural health and kind of helping people heal physically because I feel like that's a huge step on the journey to healing spiritually and emotionally. Loving consciously is literally meditating on the greatest commandment and going out into the world with the intention to live that commandment. Envision in your mind the people I see today. What does it look like to love them? What I learned during fasting is that I'm in control. Before then, I was a slave to the voice in my head, eat, do this, do that. This forced me to finally stop and recognize that voice and realize that I actually had the power to control my own actions. So universal advice is pay attention when you eat. It's very simple. Honestly, in life in general, just pay attention to reality. What is reality trying to show you? The clarity you gain from sitting with your pain soberly is priceless. There's so much wisdom in sitting with that pain and, like, honestly, asking God, God, what is this pain supposed to teach me right now? What is the lesson here? We're not designed to be obese. You cannot thrive being obese. Yes, you could be a great, loving person. God created all of us for a mission. It makes it way more difficult to do our mission in this world when you're tired all the time, when you have trouble moving, when you lack confidence. How can you give your gift to the world as effectively? I think the whole fat acceptance movement is anti-human. And if you have that hurdle, that issue, it's meant for you. Now, the way out is through. And that's why fasting or giving something up for a period of time is so great. You get off autopilot and you really start thinking about your relationship with that. And if you just make the decision to do it again, it's a conscious decision as opposed to just automatic, unconscious behavior. That's something that your soul wants to overcome because on the other side of overcoming that is incredible light and gifts and God's love that you could share with the world. So that's why I'm against the fat acceptance. It's actually interfering with people's spiritual journeys. And eventually you just kind of hit a wall and be like, what if I tried something else? Because this shame, like, first of all, it sucks, it's painful, but it doesn't really seem to be helping all that much. Why don't I flip this to self-love right now and compassion for myself? That is not the spirit of God, like fear and shame. So when you flip it and be like, hey, how would an angel talk to me right now? How would Jesus talk to me about this situation? How would an enlightened being talk to me? What would the angel say? You know, what would my higher self say about it?
Welcome home to the Loving Consciously podcast. My name is Amaris.
And my name is Eric.
And if you are like us, nobody taught you how to love. We are best friends and life partners here to vulnerably and authentically share our journey while exploring the sacred realms of love, consciousness, relationships, spirituality, and all that they encompass.
The intention of this show is to help you consciously relate to yourself, others, and everything else in this universe. Together, we can embody a more intentional and fulfilling way of giving and receiving love.
Loving consciously. Through 8 years together, we have had the opportunity to overcome deep patterning and programming, as well as trauma related to mental health, addiction, pregnancy loss, infidelity, and immense grief. After 6 years of experiencing these challenges with no knowledge on how to heal or love each other, we separated.
After us both spiritually awakening and recommitting, we formed our conscious partnership and have spent the last 2 years cultivating a divine union founded on unconditional love, devotion, and commitment to personal growth.
Thank you for joining us and doing the work alongside us as we explore this beautiful world of love and consciousness to co-create a new world of love.
As you courageously walk this path, remember to have grace with yourself and know that you have both the capacity to love consciously and the power to always choose love.
Namaste and welcome back to the Loving Consciously podcast. We are coming to you from Florida today on this guy's incarnation day, aka birthday, and we're here with a very special guest and just so excited to be talking about you and your story and the magical things that you are bringing to this world. So before we get into all of that, I'd love to welcome James. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. It's great to be here. It's awesome to see y'all. You know, a new, beautiful friendship.
Yes, exactly. Well, I would love to start before we ask you our intro question, why don't you give us a little bit of background on who James is and, maybe as deep as you want to go into your journey, it's all welcome here. What got you to this place that you're at in your life right now?
Sure. Well, it's been a wild ride. I feel like I've lived several lives in one. When I was younger, I was like a very overweight guy, wanted to be a rapper, had that whole phase, Italian American culture. My nickname was actually the Gavone, which means like a gluttonous pig because I just loved eating so much. And I wore it as a badge of honor. But eventually, my eating habits and my drinking habits started catching up with me. And when I moved to Texas, I had a rude awakening, I guess you could say, when I realized that I was quite overweight and just felt terrible in my own body. So I began my own weight loss journey. And along that path, I started taking pre-workout supplements, and they would make me super sick, jittery, anxious, feeling like I was gonna have a heart attack. So that's when I got the idea. I was like, I just want to use a healthy pre-workout. Is that too much to ask? And nothing existed. So I don't know why, but I became absolutely obsessed with that idea. I think God wanted me to do this. And it just kind of flowed through me. And I got together with a friend. We raised some money and started Organic Muscle, which makes healthy organic pre-workouts and other fitness supplements. It's really interesting how God just kind of chooses you for certain things. I'd never expected to do this in my life, but I was just filled with this energy. Like I was activated to do it. And it's a great mystery how these things work. So yeah, I started the company 10 years ago, and we have, many thousands of customers. I dedicated my life to natural health and kind of helping people heal physically, because I feel like that's a huge step on the journey to healing spiritually and emotionally.
That's such an important call out on the end there. Like, they're so intricately linked. Like they say, you can do all the physical work in the world. You can eat organic, you can work out, yada yada, detoxes. But if you're not doing the spiritual work, like, you're gonna stay stagnant and vice versa, right? You can do all of the meditating and spiritual work you want. If you're not eating healthy and taking care of your physical body, you're also gonna stay stagnant. So thanks for calling that out.
It's a very holistic system. And I honestly, this goes against my business, but I honestly think like the mindset and mentality is more important than the diet and nutrition aspect, because there's people out there who really don't eat healthy, but they have such an indomitable attitude about life, and they're so loving that they're just like glowing. They have that energy, which is mind-boggling to me, because if I eat a Big Mac, I feel like I'm gonna die. So I guess I'm just weak, But for people like myself, I have to eat. When I'm not eating healthy, I see what happens to my emotions and my mindset. It really can plummet. So everyone's built different. Some people are built different, and they can just have crazy stamina and endurance and energy without a healthy diet. For many of us, though, it's a foundational aspect. Yeah, we have to have our ducks in a row with diet and nutrition and sleep and other elements to function properly.
Yeah, I mean, it what we put in our body is the fuel that we're giving it to create more of itself, to heal, to have the energy to keep moving. And at least for myself, in the journey of health and wellness, I noticed that when I did the cleanse and I started eating healthy and my body detoxed from essentially feeding it poison, it changed. Like the chemistry of my body changed in that it was significantly more sensitive to things that I would just eat and be fine with before. It's like, no, you've given me healthy food. This is the fuel that I need, and I only accept that now. And it's really helpful because it can be really easy. Food has been one of my escapisms during my journey of being like, okay, I'm feeling a type of way. Let me go eat a sweet, or go find some sort of dopamine hit from food. And by the body kind of changing its chemistry and saying, no, we're not going to accept those things anymore, it's an aid for me to stay on my path and to stay right and make sure that I'm feeding it the things that it needs.
Yeah, it's so important. It's like we have that that directive system internally. It's like when we get off the path, our body, especially when you're attuned to this stuff, it lets you know in very strong terms that, like, hey, you're beyond this now. Like, you used to be able to do this, but it can't slide. It's like you could feel your frequency and vibration dropping. And when you're attuned to your body, and it's just amazing how many people live completely out of attunement with their body. Like, it's really, it blows my mind, but I was there at one point too. I know how it is. You become completely dull to these sensations.
Well, we're already getting so deep into it, and I definitely want to keep going because I have a lot of questions I want to ask you around like health and fitness and this journey you've been on. But bringing it back to the beginning real quick. So we had the pleasure of meeting you earlier this year at Confluence and then getting together a couple times in Austin and keeping up since. And I knew a lot of what you just shared. Like I knew about your weight journey, which I'd love to ask you about as well. And I also knew about kind of like your drinking and partying journey, which we obviously share that journey with you. I know we're both, I think you just hit a year without alcohol, is that correct?
Yeah, it's more than actually, I had a couple glasses of wine at my best friend's wedding. But besides
Oh
that, I'm actually really happy I did it because it was incredible to see how it made me feel for the next 2 weeks from having
Wow.
a couple glasses of wine. I noticed, well, first of all, I noticed everything I ate. This was in Italy. I was in my best friend's wedding in Italy. I was like, all right, I'm gonna have some wine. But before that, I was in Italy. I was eating whatever I wanted. And I was lean, I had abs. As soon as I drank, everything I ate the rest of the trip stuck to me. Like it went straight to my breast and my gut, which was really interesting how it completely, just a couple glasses of wine, changed my metabolism for 2 weeks after. My anxiety, I had zero anxiety on the trip. The last 2 weeks of the trip, crazy anxiety. I literally felt my consciousness get like dulled down. So it was such a cool experiment to be without alcohol for over a year and then have a couple glasses of wine. And the difference is incredible in your state of consciousness. But anyways, what were you saying before that? I went off on a tangent.
No, it's okay. For listeners too, they may not be able to see. That was a sarcastic. Oh no, I was totally teasing. Yeah, we're I think in a few days we're at 11 months. We committed to a year
Awesome.
and we've talked about it and we're like, "Oh, maybe a glass of wine. I don't know." And I'm more than anything excited to see like you said, like how it's going to make us feel after so long. Thank you for sharing your, the overview of your story and from your weight loss journey to the drinking and all of that. I didn't realize you wanted to be a rapper. I don't know why. I think that's really funny. And I actually think you'd probably be really good at it. But before we get any deeper, we have an intro question that we ask everyone on this show. So I'd love to hear, what does loving consciously look like in your life?
Well, I think the consciously part is so essential, being conscious of love, right? And an exercise I love to do, Aaron always talks about the greatest commandment, our friend Aaron Abke. We talk about all the time the teachings of Jesus and what they mean living today. And I like to take the greatest commandment and meditate on it. So it's love God and love your neighbor, right? And to me, loving consciously is literally meditating on the greatest commandment and going out into the world with the intention to live that commandment. Envision in your mind the people I see today, what does it look like to love them? And how do I want to be loved myself? And how would everyone I interact with throughout the day, how can I be loving to them? And it starts with understanding how I like to be loved. So I like to be told the truth, but in a kind and loving way. I like when people give me genuine, authentic compliments. I like when people are generous, and I like when people spread joy, right? And I think a lot of people can agree with those basic foundations. So for me, I try and practice loving kindness, just being loving and kind to everyone you meet, practicing forgiveness. Yeah, I think it's essential to like take time to pray and meditate about loving consciously.
That's a beautiful answer.
That's
I
a
was getting
beautiful
a little
answer.
choked up.
Oh,
This is
thanks.
my favorite part of the show because the answers are just, they're epic and they're so diverse, and we get so much wisdom in asking people like how that's manifesting in their experience.
Love
Yeah, big shout out to Aaron. We did an episode with him a couple guests ago, and it's no surprise our highest performing episode ever. Just
it.
re the gospel of love, right? The perfect thing. And I just can see y'all like just working out in the gym and just like talking about Jesus and love
All
and
day,
all these
every
things.
day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd love to dig into your story more because, I've heard bits and pieces of it, and I think it's such a beautiful example of both authenticity, but also, kind of turning that pain into that purpose, right? Like you shared, you had this, Italian American culture, which correct me if I'm wrong, but I kind of see and perceive Italian culture to be very food based. And
Extremely, yeah.
yeah, and being overweight, and then obviously turning to alcohol. And so, what was that journey like for you? And, most importantly, like, how did you kind of break out of that? Or I guess you could say, how did you wake up, if you want to say that?
Yeah, that's a good question. When I was younger, it was just the culture. I just thought it was just the way things were to binge eat and to binge drink. That was totally normal. Actually, it was considered masculine. Like, oh, we're men, we eat and we drink. That's what we do. So the brainwashing was strong, and I love all the guys I grew up with. They're amazing people. I think it took me moving out of Connecticut, where I grew up, and that opened my eyes a bit, but I stayed in the same kind of, I had all the momentum from the drinking and eating, so I just picked those habits back up in Texas. It was a dead end. It just leaves you in life in general, when something feels good now and feels shitty later. Like that's the voice of, I've been studying Kabbalah a little bit, and they say the voice of Hasatan, it's always a win-lose. Whispers in your ear for pleasure now and pain later, where the voice of the Holy Spirit or whatever, the voice of God is always a win-win, but it often involves a bit of positive suffering now for a greater reward in the future where everyone benefits. That's how you could discern between the voices, right? So really, drinking and eating was the voice of Hasatan. Look, you don't feel good right now, but if you eat this shit, if you drink this beer, you'll feel better for a little bit. So gradually the pain just became too much. It's like the suffering of not drinking or the suffering of fasting finally became more appealing than the suffering of looking at myself in the mirror and being very unhappy with what I saw, or the suffering of being lonely because I was hungover and I would stay inside all day, not talk to anyone, right? Eventually, the suffering became too much and I was open to change, you know? So, that's in a nutshell the philosophy of it, I guess.
No, I think we'll probably both want to reply to that because, as we've shared on the show, and I think we've discussed with you, at different times, like addiction, if we want to use that word, I use that word loosely. Those are just labels we put on things, but that experience of deep suffering and using something to kind of numb that suffering temporarily that then causes more suffering
Right.
is something we've both navigated at multiple points in our life. My first round, also love Kabbalah. I'm super obsessed with Kabbalah, but my first round obviously being with meth and heroin, so went hard, and then had many, many, many years of recovery. And then when my father was killed, started drinking, in excess, like very, very out of control drinking. And it's just really interesting, like what you said was so palpably true. And I think anyone listening to this that's had any type of experience of using anything in the world to numb uncomfortable feelings, you reach a point where the pain of changing, it's less than the pain of keeping the way you are. I guess we could call that rock bottom. There just becomes like this level of spiritual sickness that I think, every soul is different. Like it's a meter. We all have our spot. So just thank you for sharing that because, it's always a nice reminder for us, of how far we've come, how far you've come, and really just showing people like this, there is a better way. You don't have to feel like shit. Like you're gonna feel like shit for a little while, right? All that stuff that we've stuffed down and added in, toxically and poisonously, like we're gonna have to purge that out. It's what's on the other side, right, though? And it's like you were saying that I love that win-win voice of God analogy. That's really beautiful.
Yeah, that's really powerful. Thank you very much for sharing, James.
For sure, man.
The stories of chasing pleasure and avoiding pain, you can see that in pretty much everybody's existence. And for me, it was taking into account the law of diminishing return, right? You do something and it's never going to give you the same amount of pleasure as the first time you did it. And so you have to do it to more intensity and more intensity and more intensity to feel the same baseline. And eventually you get to a point where that doing that thing to its highest intensity will not cover up the suffering anymore, because when we choose to escape utilizing food, utilizing pornography, utilizing alcohol, drugs, partying, social media, whatever it may be, right? What we do is we put those things away, those emotions that we're avoiding, and we store them with interest, and they keep coming back. And so the next time we feel that, we're not just feeling the pain or the suffering of the current moment, but all of the compounded suffering of the past that we've put away. And that's why we're needing more and more and more stimulation. The journey of this podcast and why we have shared so much of our suffering in an attempt to help other people is because, like you found out and like we found out, there is another way. There is a way through, and that is to feel those feelings, to allow the positive suffering to meet it with love and to let it pass through, rather than, shunning it and pushing it away. Because through that, we get to enjoy life. There's this thing that happens for me when I start utilizing something to escape a negative feeling, in that it no longer becomes something that I enjoy. It almost becomes something that I need, right? And so I turn the things that I once found pleasure in into a need, and I no longer find pleasure then in them. And by reversing that and saying, I no longer need this to be happy, I can take care of myself, I can sit with my own emotions, I can regulate, the joy of that experience comes back. And you can actually heal your relationship to going out and dancing or having a meal. You do it in a healthy way, and then it feeds your soul rather than taking away from it.
And when you have that healthy relationship, there's not the associated guilt and shame, which is such a toxic emotion to when I used to numb myself with substances and things, like there would always be this aching shame in the back of my mind and in my heart that knew that what I was doing was wrong and was not the right path. So it would somewhat help. But it would be offset by the shame I would feel about the situation. So, yeah, the other thing I was going to say is that regarding the win-win, the clarity you gain from sitting with your pain soberly is priceless. Like, there's so much wisdom in sitting with that pain and, like, honestly, asking God, God, what is this pain supposed to teach me right now? Like, this is my reality right now. I'm in pain. Why? What is the lesson here? And there's always so much wisdom in all pain. So you could even argue that's the purpose of pain on a philosophical level.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful point. I was hearing something while y'all were talking. I heard something really beautiful once. I don't even remember where, and it's just randomly coming up to be shared right now, but it was about shame. And it was saying, like, the kind of a more, it's dualistic and there's obviously a lot to it, but a beautiful way of looking at it is like it's that higher, your higher self, right? Your soul is kind of like in your ear, like it always knows what's not in alignment. And so, it manifests as shame, right? Because our egos are in control, but like if it's inherently coming from a good place of our soul being like, hey, this is not your highest expression,
Yeah, there's power in
Yeah, absolutely. And for listeners, like I have found for me in my journey, like sometimes asking like, where's the lesson in this? Or like, what am I supposed to learn? Like, I'm not there yet, or I'm not maybe open enough to like be open to the lesson yet. And so if you want to take it back a step, I found it really helpful to just say like, okay, God, where are you in this? You know, like show me you in this, or like show me the opportunity for love. You know, lots of different ways
That's
to
beautiful.
reach
I like
out.
that.
Yeah.
That's
Well,
really cool.
I'd love to hear a little bit about your health journey. It's something we're really passionate about. You know, we were, oh God, man. I mean, eating Taco Bell and all the fast food and, you know, all the things, drinking and yeah, just very, very toxic, unhealthy lifestyle. Like, how did you go about that journey? What's that been like for you? I'm sure it's still forever ongoing, but you know, it's so holistic. And I think to a lot of people, when they start their, we'll just say healing journey, consciousness journey, like there's a moment, and I'm curious if you had this moment, but like there's this palpable moment of realizing everything in my life is toxic. Like it all has to go. It's almost like this dismantling of like there's literally nothing in our home that wasn't, every cleaning product, hygiene product, beauty product, food product, it was all poison.
It's wild.
So yeah, I'm curious if you feel called, like let's hear about that journey for you and maybe just how you've navigated it and any advice you have to listeners as they're navigating that.
Well, there's been several different stages to my health journey. My weight loss journey started when my friend told me I was fat, and he did it. He was kind of, to be honest with you, but it was a incredible experience for, it was a life-changing experience because I went home and I was literally standing in the mirror, just looking at myself like, dang, he's right. Like, I was so mad at him. I was like, you're fat, you suck. But then I realized he was right. I'm the type of person when I make a decision, I like go all in. So I was like, I'm just gonna fast. I'm gonna fast for a couple of days. So that's what I did, and it was the best thing I ever did. I probably didn't do it like the right way to fast to start, but it was great that I just went for it. What I learned during fasting is that I'm in control. Before then, I was a slave to the voice in my head, eat, do this, do that. This forced me to finally stop and recognize that voice and realize that I actually had the power to control my own actions. That's where it really started. Regarding diet, I was actually a big proponent for, like, even though I had a plant-based supplement company, I would eat a more animal-based diet and then supplement with herbs and greens and fruits. It helped me get lean, but within the last year, I've had this really interesting change in my consciousness where I just haven't wanted to participate in any kind of cruelty towards animals. So I've become plant-based and I haven't eaten meat in about a year. And that's been a really interesting journey because I'd never expected to be plant-based ever. I thought vegans were the strangest people on earth. I thought they were stupid and they didn't get it. And now I basically am one. So it's been very humbling. I would say anything, whether you're animal-based, vegetarian, whatever, I think it comes down to experimentation. First of all, you want to get the cleanest food you possibly can, whatever you're eating. Really paying attention to how you feel after you eat certain things because everyone's different. And a food that complies well with someone's system may not be in harmony with another person's system. So universal advice is pay attention when you eat. It's very simple. Honestly, in life in general, just pay attention to reality. What is reality trying to show you? Huh, I eat this and then I have diarrhea. I want, huh, interesting. Okay,
Just pay
maybe
attention.
just pay attention to what you eat and pay attention to the signs of your reality. So that's the universal advice I give. Honestly, even journal about it. I'm not big on tracking your food, but it is useful to do for a week to get a general idea of how much you're eating. And it just makes you more conscious of what you're actually eating. I always recommend eat organic as much as you can. If you are eating meat, try to be conscious of where that meat is sourced from. I mean, if I think every human being can agree that even if we eat meat, it would be preferable if that animal didn't suffer as much, if it lived a better life. If you're ingesting that kind of pain and suffering, that could potentially affect your consciousness. I've noticed my consciousness has really changed since I've stopped eating meat. I feel way more, I feel like I love more consciously. Like I feel way more love for all beings and compassion for the plight of animals that I completely disregarded before. So that was kind of a convoluted, all over the place answer, but
No, it made
no, that's
total
great.
sense. Something you said in the beginning that, I love it. You were like, fasting helped you become conscious of the voice, right? And we could use a million different words and terminology. Listeners, don't get lost in the words. You can call it your ego, you can call it whatever you want to call it. But there is that, like, that incessant kind of voice that everyone is I so identified with, right? And that's what we say when we say the Great Awakening is people are waking up to that voice. They're waking up to their spiritual nature. They're waking up to their egos. And I think it's really interesting that fasting was the thing that helped you become aware, like, oh, wait a minute, like I'm the awareness behind those thoughts. I love that so much. And I love, we obviously love and support everyone's paths. We also are plant-based. I have a really interesting journey with that, and that I was just kind of born that way. Like, I literally remember being a very small child. I've always hated eggs. I've always hated milk. And I've always not liked meat. Like, I would sit at the table, 3, 5, 7 years old and watch my family eat like bloody steaks, and I would cry. Like, it was just, it never resonated with my soul. And, also on the flip side, devil's advocate, like, for example, when I was pregnant, I did choose to partake in meat products because it's what my body was asking for. I already have a blood disorder, and anemia. And so it was at that time, we didn't have the knowledge and skills to get it through plants. And so it changes and it flows. But yeah, you reach this point. I personally, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, don't come at me in the comments, but personally, I don't know anyone who goes on a very long and deep consciousness journey and hasn't ended up at this place of, not spiritually wanting to eat animals, or at least not in a deeply reverent way where, they were raised with intention and care and allowed to live their life in, organic ways. So, yeah, just thanks for sharing your experience on that.
Thank you.
It's really powerful to see different people's pathways to consciousness because I feel like God really does meet you where you're at. I never considered fasting as that avenue, but the first time I fasted, it was because I was experiencing such identification with that voice of saying, eat this thing, you need to eat. For me, I've been skinny most of my life, I've been very lean, struggled to maintain my weight, had small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and just had a lot of gut issues for the majority of my life. And that became part of my identity of like, okay, that is something that I am, not something that I am experiencing. And so for most of my life, I was just like, cool, I have to eat a lot of food in order to ma barely maintain my weight and live a pseudo healthy lifestyle,
A lot of food.
a lot of food. But what I was doing was I was actually just pouring a whole bunch of unhealthy food into my system, obsessed with protein, obsessed with drinking these shakes that were not healthy for me, frozen chicken nuggets that I was like, I just need to eat a lot of this, right? It was more about mass versus quality. I noticed when we switched to a healthier diet during our first pregnancy, I was like, okay, this is our child. This is my partner that I am feeding. What do I want to put into their body? And that was the conscious change for me. I grew up in a Catholic Hispanic family, and so very meat-based diet, a lot of meats and potatoes, some veggies, but that was just me. And so I started feeding my partner, and in that, it kind of started from laziness of like, well, I don't want to cook two things, cook a meal for me and cook a meal for my partner. So let's just try this plant-based thing for a little bit. Let's figure it out. And so I started doing, the frozen plant-based like Beyond Burgers and stuff like that. And because I was attached to the foods that I was eating, I didn't want to sacrifice the enjoyment that I was receiving from food in exchange for eating a healthier lifestyle, right? I didn't want to just eat a salad for the rest of my life. And in that journey, I found, oh, you don't
You don't have to sacrifice at all, actually. You can have the same more delicious foods and not feel like crap afterwards, not have that density and not have that heaviness. And plant-based alternatives was kind of the stepping stone for me in that sense. And then I realized, oh, those are all poison as well. Because you go
There's some
to
good ones now, but yeah, there's really bad ones. There's actually really cool brands coming out that's like three ingredients. It's like mushrooms and salt and like one other thing.
Oh, fantastic. I love that.
So it's pretty cool. But yeah, there's other ones that you'd want to steer clear from.
Yeah, I'll take a look into that.
It's been the best journey ever because it forced, well, you, I don't cook, but it forced you to learn to cook in this way. And we eat like kings and queens now. Like he makes everything from scratch,
Awesome.
literally
That's amazing.
everything. And it's exquisite. We have shrimp scampi. We had Alfredo the other night, and it's all plant-based, all organic, all from
Oh,
scratch. So,
yeah.
I mean,
Oh, amazing. I gotta try out your cooking.
I'll send you some stuff. Really, what it was is it was an exercise in taking our power back, right? When we realized the food that we were consuming was poison, and we were the only ones that had the ability to change what we're eating. It was then on me to figure out, okay, how am I going to feed myself and how am I going to feed my family in a healthy way without sacrificing the joy of eating, right? And mushrooms was a big tool for me in that sense, coconut milk, and just finding the replacement of taste and texture in a healthy way, and then you can create, and it becomes a work of art and creates soul in the food where you pour your love and your energy into it. And it's more than just the nutrition, but the energetic and the spiritual factor of consuming this food that's made with love. You were talking about consuming meat from animals who have suffered and how that suffering passes on to us. That's a very real thing, you know? When we consume food that's made and prepared from somebody who's experiencing negative emotions, anger, who is suffering themselves when the food itself has suffered. These are all aspects that go into our nourishment. It's not just the physical food, it goes way beyond that.
100%. Yeah, you know what it makes me think of? I'm a This is an interesting segue, but I'm a huge reggae fan. Like, I love roots reggae. To me, it's like divinely inspired spiritual music. I've always just felt a deep connection to authentic roots reggae. And I've been thinking, why Rastafarianism is a small religion? There's like 30,000 Rastafarians in Jamaica. There's maybe 500,000 worldwide. How has this tiny religion made a form of music that has just touched the whole world? And I believe it's because of this concept of levity, or they call it Eitel food. Rastafarianism, in my opinion, has retained like the true essence of the Essenian kind of Nazarene form of Christianity and Judaism, which absolutely rejected the killing of animals for food. And the food you're talking about making, it reminds me of like these Rastafarian recipes that are filled with life and cooked with love. So I think the reason Rastafarians have been able to create such beautiful, divinely inspired music is because of the food they eat. And really, it's the state of their hearts where they don't want to hurt any animals. They eat the cleanest food straight from nature, cooked with love, like you said, and that taps them in to the spiritual world in a way where they could create this beautiful music.
That's genius. I can't wait to text one of our friends and tell them, and I'm about to turn you on. I don't know if you've heard of Presence with a Z.
No.
I'm gonna send him to you after this. And for our listeners, we did an episode with him. It's really special. He's a conscious music artist that's in that kind of realm of music, and it hits different. You're gonna love
Nice.
him. And we had him on the show to talk about truth and all these things, and he performed in the show. And when we saw him perform for the first time, we both were like, what is occurring right now? Like, and I've been thinking about it obsessively for this whole year. Like, what is it about this human being's music? And what you just said, like, that is really insightful. It's like making my brain kind of explode right now. You
Nice.
know,
Awesome. I
I
can't wait to
think,
hear his music.
yeah, for sure. You know, and listeners as well, check it out. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful music. It's got me thinking so much about like everything is spiritual, right? This is something Aaron teaches on, and I love so much. We as a collective humanity just we just don't get it, you know? And it's so understated, and I can't state it enough. Everything is spiritual, right? Everything that we do, everything that we eat, everything that we create, it's all intricately linked. Like you can't not affect everything in your experience. You know, it's all interwoven, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And so it would make total sense, you know, just like the Essenes, what you are eating and that energy is translated into the music you're creating, into the food you're creating, into the children you're creating, right? And so if you're listening to this, you know, sometimes I know for us both, like it can be a challenge on the personal development journey to like feel motivated for yourself. And so maybe that helps people, you know, feel motivated for the planet, for your music, for your work, for your children, whatever it is that you're creating is also being affected. I just love that so much. Another thing that you touched on that I'd love to get your thoughts on, because I don't know if it's still a conspiracy out there. I don't really like dive into the mainstream media, but you talked about organic, which is going to lead us perfectly into your company, Organic Muscle. But here in this family, we are very avid about being organic. I wouldn't even say whenever possible we're organic or we don't buy it. Like with our food and our products, and feel really passionately about it. And I obviously want to caveat this, you know, I understand it's not perfect, and I know that there's, you know, government involvement and all of these things, but given the two choices, I do really passionately feel and have personally experienced the taste difference, the nutritional quality difference, the difference in my body. So I'd love if you'd share your thoughts on, obviously you're passionate about it, right? It's in your company name. What are your thoughts on, you know, organic and the organic culture of this country?
It's exploding right now. I mean, the consciousness about organic, especially with all of this RFK stuff at HHS, it's really interesting. I'm fascinated to see what's going to happen. I interviewed RFK once and he had incredible energy, man. Like, I've met politicians and stuff before, and this guy was just built like you could see the light in his eyes. Like, he has a true love for humanity. We'll see what happens there. I don't think these agricultural companies and big pharma are going to go out without a fight. They have so many entrenched interests and a huge motive to get in the way of this. So we'll see what happens. You know, I got faith that good things will happen because our organic program right now is not perfect by any means. You know, places like Italy have much stronger programs, but the alternative is so bad. At least with organic here, you have safeguards that glyphosates, neonicotinoids, some of these toxic pesticides are not being sprayed all over your crops. And I mean, I get notifications for scientific studies about glyphosate, so I see them all the time. And it's bad. Like,
Can you share? I'm sorry to interrupt you. Assuming some listeners may not know, can you just give a little bit of background on what glyphosate is? Because I think it's going to become in their awareness very soon, but just in case they don't
it's
know.
the most common industrial pesticide used in the United States. And studies have shown it causes a host of issues, whether you have brain cancer, which does not sound like fun to me. A host of bladder issues, skin issues, you name it. There's so many. And we see the massive reductions in sperm counts and fertility. And many people theorize that is also linked to glyphosate. So, I mean, the United States is just so unhealthy. It's unbelievable. When you go out and about, you could see it makes me sad because so many people don't even know that they're caught in this trap. And it's just not normal. I don't know if this is controversial, but it is not. We're not designed to be obese. You cannot thrive being obese. Yes, you could be a great, loving person, but I think God created all of us for a mission. And it makes it way more difficult to do our mission in this world when you're tired all the time, when you have trouble moving, when you lack confidence. How can you give your gift to the world as effectively? So I sympathize with people who suffer with obesity and health issues because I've been there. But the whole fat acceptance thing, I think, is a real It's a real injustice to the potential of every human being, you know? It's okay to be overweight, but you should be mindful that you're not living your full potential in that state. Just like if you're a drug addict, look, if you're a drug addict, I don't hate you at all. Of course not. I love you, but you're probably not doing your full potential in your current state. And it doesn't make me hateful to say that, you know, hey, you could probably make a bigger impact on the world if you weren't smoking crack all day. It's not hateful. It's loving, actually, to tell someone the truth. So I think the whole fat acceptance movement and like get the jab for a Big Mac type mentality is anti-human. It really is anti-human.
I just want to save space because I'm sure, you can feel the palpable energy change. Like, there may be some people listening to us that were just triggered, and how difficult it was for you to say what you just said because it is truth. Eric and I share this experience a lot, and I think it's become so normalized, which just blows my mind. Like, we'll be in a crowd. At this point, we've seen 45 out of 48 states. We'll be in a crowd, New York City, you name wherever it is. And I had palpable moments of looking around and I'm like, wow, like 90% of the people are overweight and unhealthy. And I think what's happened is it's become so normalized and it's everyone that people that are only a little overweight, they're like, oh no, like I'm just fluffier. This is
Yeah.
normal. I have some meat on my bones. And we don't really understand, look back, look at our ancestors. Like, leanness is in our nature, right? Like,
Yeah.
it really is. And it's just, I'm with you, James. Like, I do, I get really, really sad, like, just looking at so many people, especially people that are like morbidly obese and they can barely walk and
Yeah.
they can barely function. And it's like, it's bringing me back to this video. I think, to be honest, I don't even know who shared it. I don't know why I'm thinking Alex Zach, but there's this video going around and it was like, you're not this, you're being poisoned. You're not depressed, you're being poisoned. You're not overweight, you're being poisoned. And it just like went through all of these labels that like the system or matrix doctors, Western medicine, psychology will give you. And it was like, you're being poisoned. And I used to be like, before my consciousness journey, like, oh, that's their choice and blah, blah, blah. And I can see now from this much higher perspective how much this world, specifically America, it is atrocious, has been manipulated, lied to, and frankly poisoned. I actually feel really strongly about that word. Like, we are being poisoned. When you look at the exact same product that's here and that's in the UK, we are being poisoned. And I think it's uncomfortable to talk about, and the more that we get comfortable talking about, like you said, like you're just as equal and valid and beautiful and whole and perfect, and you can also be unhealthy. And how can we start to deconstruct this like narrative that it's
Yeah.
cool or okay or whatever to be unhealthy?
Yeah.
Well, the reason why, so when you study Kabbalah, you know, everyone has their tikkun, their baggage. And on the other side of that, if you could overcome that, that's when you can truly give your gifts to the world. So I think for a lot of people, part of their baggage, their soul's journey, something they need to overcome is a health issue or obesity or even being poisoned. That's something that your soul wants to overcome, because on the other side of overcoming that is incredible light and gifts and God's love that you could share with the world. So that's why I'm against the fat acceptance, because it's actually interfering with people's spiritual journeys. It's any problem, any hurdle in your life has a gift attached to it. And if you have that hurdle, that issue, it's meant for you. You know, the way out is through. So it'd be like, I don't know, what's this? Any situation in life, if you just go like this, no. There's no growth there, you know?
Yeah,
Absolutely.
gotta face it.
Yeah, something that you both touched on that I feel is at the core of this opportunity for growth in the collective is denial. It's the state of living in the denial of truth. Because for me, when I finally accepted, I was experiencing a sexual addiction was the moment that I gave myself the opportunity to make a different choice. You know, for you, when you were looking in the mirror and you said, "Oh man, he's right." You know, that gave you the opportunity to make a choice to
Yes.
change that. It's not until we actually take a hard look at the reality that we are being faced with an honest lens and being open to truth rather than denying it and putting our labels on it and saying, like, yeah, but I really like, you know, this food. You were talking about the food journal and taking note of, like, how does this thing make me feel after I eat it? I love toaster strudels. I'm just gonna say that. As since I was a kid, I love to eat toaster strudels. They make me feel awful every single time. It's a high dopamine hit, and then my body does not processes it well. When I was a kid, I would get full body hives, and I would still want to eit this thing because, to me, I enjoyed it. As a kid, I was like, I want to eat this thing that tastes good. I don't care about the repercussions of for a week being covered in hives, going to school looking like I had chicken pox every day. I didn't care. And that's what I see our brothers and our sisters doing, living unhealthy lifestyles. And it doesn't always just have to be food. It's the media we consume. It's the spiritual content we consume. It's how we live our life. If we're not living a holistic and healthy life, we are choosing suffering for ourselves. And it really hurts to see, it really hurt to see myself doing that, but it hurts even more to see my brothers and sisters doing that. And like you said, with every challenge, we get a gift. Yes, we get the gift of being able to overcome that and learn that lesson for ourselves so that we can see and observe it in others and help and lift them and become of service. We cannot shift from the state of being separate and being living in a self-serving way until we actually love ourselves enough to shift out of that state. Because when we do, we then can see that state in other people. And then we have the tool to help them, right? You were able to come and through your journey of overcoming obesity and living a healthy life, you've created this beautiful gift of organic muscle and given this to the world, right? It's through facing the challenge that you decided that you were going to come here and face that you were able to bring the healthiest, in my opinion, the cleanest, and the best tasting organic supplements I have ever had. Your protein powder, I had it for the first time after I got it from you at Confluence. And I went to work out and I felt my body absorb it. Like I, because of I'm present with my body and working out and how I feel before and after I work out, before I was taking, you know, the mainstream supplements, every time my body would get bloated, it would reject it. And I knew I wasn't actually getting the nutritional benefits, but I was taking it psychologically because I felt like I needed to take that to maintain my weight. With your products, I take them and I feel my body accept them and be nourished by them, right? That's like, what more could you ask for from a supplement company? And that only came because you fought through the challenges and birthed something new into this world. So thank you.
Man, that was so beautiful. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, I mean, it's a gift. It really is a gift to share this with the world. And everything all of our products, I use and we develop them because we wanted to use them ourselves, you know? And I just find it amazing. I think a lot about some other companies that maybe don't sell the healthiest things. And I just, it's such a different state of consciousness because how can you sleep knowing that maybe they're in the denial or they don't understand? But for me, like what you just said, just like filled my spirit up so much. And that's why I do this, like to really help people, because that is like the best feeling in the world for me, like knowing that this is making a positive impact, you know? So thank you. I really appreciate that. That was beautifully said.
He's totally not kidding too, and this is a perfect segue into the last thing I want to talk to you about here, which is organic muscle. I remember when we were at Confluence and you were like, yeah, I have a health supplement. I don't even think you said organic. And immediately we were like, I don't
Yeah,
know.
some
And you were
sketchy.
like, yeah, we're very picky. And you were like, it's organic, it's plant-based. And of course, then we're like, Chihuahua ears. You know, we're like, wait, what? What did he just say? And I'll never forget, he had like a pre-workout sample
Oh,
and
yeah.
didn't end up trying it for a couple of weeks, maybe a month after that. And he came home from the gym that day and he was like, oh my God, like he was beside himself. He was like, I've never experienced anything like this. Like I feel
That's
anything.
amazing.
And I watched him, you know, we've been together over 8 years and I've watched him go through a really painful journey with his stomach condition, with his weight, you know, with his diet, with all that came with that, and specifically with like protein powders making him really sick, and just watching him kind of like force feed this shit to his body and be so sick, and to see him be able to use your stuff. We're looking up at it because it's up there on the shelf. We'll grab it in a second while you're talking so we
Nice.
can show on the camera. Yeah, can you just share a little bit more about organic muscle and maybe your product specifically? Like, what makes you so special? Obviously, they're organic and plant-based. And I also want to share with you real quick before I forget and before you answer this. We had a friend over the other day, a good friend of ours, and he's a lifelong bodybuilder, professional bodybuilder, stuff like that. Also on a consciousness and health journey, and we showed him your products and he opened it. And you know, when you live that life, you live that life. And he just took one sniff and he was like, what the hell is this? Like, this smells exquisite. Like, he was about it. He's reading the ingredients and he was like, this is like some real shit. Like, I think, I don't know what word he used, but it was similar to bougie. He was like reading them, and he was like, okay, like, and pulling it up on his phone immediately. So yeah, just we'd love to hear more about organic muscle, what products you have, and how you've created this beautiful baby of yours.
Thank you. You guys are so sweet. I really appreciate it. It's nice to know that it's appreciated, you know. But yeah, we're just trying to make the cleanest versions of various fitness supplements that we possibly can. Use all organic ingredients, non-GMO, glyphosate-free, low heavy metals, verified A plus rating on all of our products. Basically, there's almost a sense of greed there because it's just supplements I want to personally use. So I develop things that I want to use myself. And then I figure it's a good way to develop products. Like, what do I want? What do my friends want? What do they look for in a product? And that's been our kind of methodology. But our products include pre-workout. Most people I talk to have had horror stories with pre-workouts where they feel like they're going to crap themselves and have a heart attack. So our pre-workout is completely clean and jitter-free. So it's just like we call it Zen energy. Like, you feel really good and you have a ton of endurance and stamina. You don't feel like that almost manic form of energy. It's very
Cracked
smooth.
out.
Yeah. So the main ingredients of that are beetroot and pomegranate, which are phenomenal foods for circulation and blood flow. And that's what helps the stamina so much. We also have organic tonkat ali. We have the only certified organic tonkat on the market, which, so that's like the most well herb in the world for naturally boosting testosterone. The effects are palpable, I'll just say that much. We also have hydration supplements, greens, reds, protein powder, a whole host of things. So yeah, if anyone wants to check it out, go to organicmuscle.com. There we
This is it
go.
right
We've
there.
got one here, and I mean the packaging is beautiful. I love the logo too, but
Thank
yeah,
you.
you
Appreciate
can
it.
see here all the fun things, you know, soy-free, dairy-free, non-GMO. But yeah, some of these ingredients, like he was reading them off, and it sounds bougie and amazing, like organic Jerusalem artichoke inulin. I don't know what that is, but that sounds really beautiful. You know, organic millet, organic amaranth, organic pumpkin, hemp, etc. So you know, no dyes, none of the fake sugars, none of the crap, right?
None of the
Like,
crap.
no crap.
And what I really appreciated too, like you were sharing the story about the pre-workout, I went caffeine free for a little over 2 years, because I was experiencing a dependency on caffeine. And I hit that cold turkey, quick coffee, and was very unhealthily resistant to reintroducing caffeine into my life because I was like, nope, I clean myself from that. I'm not gonna allow that into my experience anymore, because caffeine for me equals addiction to caffeine. And there is this really beautiful experience of slowly reintroducing caffeine into my system and having a healthy relationship with it. It's one of the main reasons why I never wanted to try pre-workout. And when you offered me the pre-workout sample when we met, it did. It sat in the trailer for a little over a month, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to use this thing, because I don't want to. I don't want to introduce that into my body anymore. But I trust you. And I went to go to the gym, and the previous night I didn't sleep at all. Like, I was tossing and turning, but I had recommitted to going back to the gym in the time that we were in Austin. And so I'm like, I'm gonna show up. And I drove up there, I had it with me, and I was like, I feel like death. I don't think I can actually go to the gym. I may just sit there and meditate in the gym and just say, I honored my commitment. And I was like, you know what? I'll try this pre-workout. And within minutes, I felt completely energized and completely focused in a way that I hadn't felt in a very, very long time. It was extremely clean. It wasn't that like super high jump up and then crash at the end. It was a very slow build that helped me kind of like move into my workout in a natural way. And then I had the most intense workout I've had in years on a night of basically no sleep, just drinking water, the pre-workout. And then for a good 3 or 4 hours into my day, that level of focus and like clarity stayed with me. And I was able to tackle things around the house,
I remember now.
work.
You came home from
Yeah,
the
I
gym
came.
and he popped in the front door. I distinctly remember the moment now. And he was like, he's made some good shit.
Nice.
He's
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite testimonials ever. It's such an awesome story.
Yeah,
Does
no,
it
it's
have caffeine?
fantastic.
Is that why
It does.
it's
Yeah, it
natural?
has natural caffeine. And
Natural.
so
Yeah.
that's the thing, is like, we
Caffeine's not
can't,
inherently bad.
nothing is inherently bad, right? It's our relationship to the thing. That's why loving consciously, it's about our relationships to what we're consuming, whether it's cannabis, whether it's food, whether it's our relationships with others. We can have unhealthy, dependent relationships with other people, right? It's all about how we relate to the thing. And the process that I've found to find to loving consciously, right, has been finding out, where do I have an unhealthy relationship? Accept that, see that as truth, take away the lens of denial and say, okay, I'm gonna accept this into my reality. And then I'm going to stop having an unconscious relationship with that thing. Sometimes that may mean quitting cold turkey. It meant for me stopping drinking coffee for 2 years. It meant for us having a separation. It meant for, different things in my experience to just stop behaving in that way. And then after doing the healing work, understanding the root cause and tackling that and finding healing, then reintroducing it in a healthy way so that we can come back to loving relationship with that thing. Because loving relationship is not rejecting the thing permanently. It's saying, I'm abusing this thing. I'm going to take a step back, find out why I'm abusing this thing. And then when I'm in a healed place, I can come back and reintroduce and find a healed way of relating with that thing again so that we can reintegrate into our experience.
That's beautiful, beautifully said. I mean, those are extremely wise words that I think we can all like implement that kind of thought process with our own personal hurdles and on our own personal journey. So yeah, I couldn't agree more with everything you just said.
I have to wonder, like, I'm listening to you both talk, and I'm like, and for listeners too, I think this might be like our contemplation in the episode. We like to give people contemplations. What would the world look like? I'm thinking of like traditional, I'm not bagging on 12 step stuff, you know, it has a place, but like traditional 12 step of anything, right? It's like you need abstinence completely, like you can't have the thing. It's that same powerlessness mindset, but like, what would it look like if everybody knew you don't have to give up the thing forever? You don't have to like never have this thing again, right? It's not all or nothing. It's just a pause to heal yourself and get in right relationship with it. And also realizing too, I think this is a beautiful point in this conversation about food and alcohol and all these things, caffeine that we're talking about, is like the thing itself is not inherently bad, right? It's we collectively have desecrated it, right? We've taken nicotine, a very beautiful natural substance that our brains make, and we've turned it into cigarettes, right? We've desecrated, cacao and chocolate. We've desecrated, all these different things you can have, sacred, ceremonial, different types of alcohol that are not like Jim Beam. I don't know why that's the only thing that came to my head, but and so just that offering and that reminder to people on the show, listening, like it's just an encouragement to get in healthy relationship, whatever that looks like, and know that like we don't have to walking this path of health and of spirituality, consciousness, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't mean like everything has to go in the garbage. It just means you get to introduce it in its right and purest form. You get the best of everything.
It's about getting off autopilot where you're using these substances mindlessly. And that's why fasting or giving something up for a period of time is so great, because you get off autopilot and you really start thinking about your relationship with that. And if you just make the decision to do it again, it's a decision. It's a conscious decision as opposed to just automatic, unconscious behavior,
Yeah, just like when you made the decision to have some wine on your magical trip in Italy, and we do those things like you with caffeine, and we haven't actually done it yet, but we've purchased. And for me, I'm in a journey of I want to heal my relationship with tobacco. It's one of the kind of the core three. I don't know where I heard it. You might recognize it, James, but someone said the three kind of core plants that we've desecrated, and it was cacao, tobacco, and coca, the coca plant. We've turned them into cocaine, cigarettes, and chocolate, like Hershey's chocolate, which is probably the worst chocolate on the planet. And as soon as we heal our relationships to those three sacred plants, like humanity will be freed of a lot of the demons they have.
Wow, that's
And so
beautiful.
for me, having been a, yeah, I don't remember where I heard it.
Actually, I think we heard it at the ecstatic dance that we
The
went to
cacao, it
with
was
you.
the cacao
Oh,
ecstatic
nice.
dance movement.
Oh,
It
snap. Yeah, that was a great
was
time.
right, that's why it's coming up. Yeah,
That's so
but
funny.
I took that very seriously, and I've not stopped contemplating it because, for you it was food, and for you, it was pornography and things like that. And for me, a huge one was nicotine. I was a pack-a-day smoker for years, especially through my addiction, and then I was a chain vapor for like 6 years. And I think in January I'll have 2 years since I walked away from my vape. I really want to reintroduce that. And so even now, like 4 years into my consciousness healing journey, I'm still doing this process, right? Like we went and purchased some organic tobacco and all of the things to, commune with that plant, and really looking forward to healing that with reverence and putting that back into right relationship, because I desecrated the hell out of that plant. So if you're listening, in whatever way, like pick something, whatever it is, like you start small, where can I have a healthier relationship? Maybe it's with food, maybe it's with caffeine, nicotine, television, a sexual nature, whatever it is, like bringing more intention to that. It's really profound stuff. So,
Well said, well said.
yeah, I did have one question for you.
oh, Eric has a question.
Yeah. You mentioned in your journey the experience of shame and how that played a significant role in keeping you in the same cycle of eating and the experience that you were in. What was your process in tackling that shame and overcoming it?
Good question.
It's a good question. Well, it's interesting. In a certain way, through shame, you could learn to love yourself and accept yourself. It sounds counterintuitive, but like the shame led me to such a black hole, like this wormhole of shame, and there was no solutions there. So I'm in my head feeling shame. And eventually you just kind of hit a wall and be like, what if I tried something else? Because this shame, like, first of all, it sucks, it's painful, but it doesn't really seem to be helping all that much. Why don't I flip this to self-love right now and compassion for myself? So I think it was honestly just like running against a wall over and over and being like, this is like not helpful. This is miserable. and I'm not changing how I want to. Like, let me think about this situation differently. I like to think about, I call it the angel, but you could call it whatever you want. But like, shame is usually like, Hasatan is any voice that like, fear is not of God. Like, that is not the spirit of God, like fear and shame. So when you flip it and be like, hey, how would an angel talk to me, right? How would Jesus talk to me about this situation? How would an enlightened being talk to me? And you go through that process, and it's usually a gentle, kind, but real voice. So whereas before you're stupid, you're worthless, it becomes, look, dude, you made a mistake. Every single human being who has ever lived has made countless mistakes. It's okay, but we can learn from this. So like that to me, it's like finding that voice of an enlightened being or angel. How would they talk to you about this situation where you're feeling so much shame about? And it's like always going back to that voice, finding that voice when you find yourself spiraling into shame. What would the angel say? You know, what would my higher self say about it? So it's catching yourself when you're on autopilot into the negativity. Last thing I'll say is this is the power of meditation, you know. Like, I'm a follower of Jesus, but so many Christians say meditation is demonic because demons will come in when you're open. And the funny thing is, they're right. When you sit there silently, demons do come in, negative energy, negative thoughts, other words for demons, right? They will come into your mind. And when that happens, you're able to identify them and transcend them. Otherwise, if you're not meditating, that shit's just autopilot. Those negative thoughts are blurred into your own thoughts, and you don't know the difference. So I would say meditation, watch for the voice of Hasatan, and when it comes, meet it with the voice of God, the voice of an angel, and have that positive voice overcome the voice of shame.
As well
That's
said,
beautiful.
sir. I
Thank
love
you.
that. As you were talking, I was hearing, what would love say?
Yeah, what would
But
love say?
yeah,
Exactly.
what would love say here? Thanks so much for sharing that. That's really potent stuff. I
Thank you.
loved having you on here. I know we both have. We'll plug everything in the show notes, but I'd love to give you a chance real quick. You know, where can people connect with you and all, where can they find your products, your website, all those fun things?
Awesome, thank you. Yeah, you can find our products on Amazon, just Organic Muscle or organicmuscle.com. You can connect with me on Instagram at James Benefico. And yeah, it's been such a pleasure. Beautiful conversation. You two are beautiful souls, and I'm for y'all to be in Austin.
I can't wait to be there, be in that light, recharge our batteries, give our light to the community, spend more time with you and Aaron and everyone. So
We're excited
we're
to
ready.
be in one spot, grounded for some time around
Yes.
like-minded conscious community. And Austin's a really good place to come and recharge and
It really
fill our
is.
cups until God gives us the go-ahead for a different location. Austin is home for now.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for being here, brother. We love you and listeners. Check out Organic Muscle and keep spreading that light, James. We love what you've created here.
Thanks, you as well. Thanks.